Lord, somebody.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. If you are alive, if God has made you worthy, it is not of works of righteousness. It is not because we did anything right. In fact, we did everything wrong. I said we did everything wrong. And mercy came down like a prisoner set free. Went past all of our failures to the point of our need. When we couldn't come up to him, he came down to us. I said, when we couldn't reach up to him, he came down to us as a lamb. Praise ye the Lord. Please, you may be seated. Let's just thank the Lord Jesus Christ as we approach the word this morning. That last song, I sang it continuously for about 2 weeks, and it's one of my favorite songs. One of my very favorite songs, and I had to dig it up. Praise the Lord. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank you. We want to exalt your name. Not because you are not exalted. You're already highly exalted. You have a name that's above every name. At the sound of which everything on earth and in heaven bows. We thank you for such a time as this, that we come into your presence. Feed us, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord. Fill us with bread from above, that we may eat and never thirst again. That we may drink and never thirst again. That we may eat manna from him and be filled in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says the entrance of his word gives life and light. Amen. Praise the Lord. I titled my admonition to us this morning as the praise of men and destinies. The praise of men and destinies. We're going to go through a profile of the first king in Israel, the very first king. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 9, all the way through verse 12. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just going to paraphrase, give a prelude, a foundation. The first king in Israel, how many of us know his name? The first king that was anointed. Saul, King Saul. The children of Israel wanted to be like the other nations. They were surrounded by Philistines from time to time, and they wanted to be like the other kings. They asked for a king. And finally, they got what they wanted. They got a king. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, we see the humble beginnings of this king. Just like most ministries, they start off very humbly. Very humble. Maybe on the streets. And as the Lord starts to multiply, things start changing. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. That will not be my portion in Jesus' name. We will remain humble. And God will exalt us in due time. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, he was anointed king by Samuel. Samuel was one of the most profound prophets. His words, the Bible said, never fall to the ground. Everything he said came to pass. Praise the Lord. When he was anointed verse 21, it says, Saul, when Samuel walked up to him to tell him about he was going to be captain over the Lord's people, Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjaminite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? In other words, it was beyond him to be called to be a king. Amen. He didn't think it was possible. So for him to have been called, He remained very humble in his beginnings. Praise the Lord. And may that be your portion and my portion throughout, in Jesus' name. I'm going to, for the brevity of time, I'm going to try in chapter 10. I want us to read when Samuel called him and was anointing him. I want us to just listen to certain prophetic utterances that the prophet Samuel said to him. He gave him certain signs. He gave him certain things that will happen. He said, when these things happen, say, be thou watchful and do as the occasion warrants. Three things. So listen. This is 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm just going to play it here.
Samuel 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the...
Everything. He mentioned four things to him that would take place. Amen. One, two men would meet him, give a prophetic insight, foreknowledge. Three men would meet him carrying two goats. Another one with wine, they will give him certain things, and it took place. Then he gave him the fourth instruction. He said, verse 7, said, thou shalt go before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days shalt thou wait, that shalt thou tarry, till I come. He said, till, wait for me 7 days, till I come. So that what? Show you what thou shalt do. I will give you instruction what to do concerning the sacrifice. Let's move forward. In verse 1 Samuel chapter 13, there was a battle, Gilgal. And the instruction he was given, he said, verse chapter 13, let's start at verse 8. The fourth instruction, verse 8, he said, and now this is Saul trying to carry out the fourth instruction he gave him. He said, and he tarried 7 days.
So according to the set time when Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Verse 9. And Saul said, bring thither a burnt offering to me, and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. Was that the instruction? No. He said, wait for me till I come. I'll tell you what and what to do. He didn't follow the instruction. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of the offering, Samuel showed up. What does that remind us of sometimes? In waiting for God's promises, we are sometimes impatient. And as soon as we do it, we say, ow! I shouldn't have. Amen? That will not be my portion or your portion. In the name of Jesus. Let us wait. Let us wait. Say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not faint. They'll run and not be weary. Let the Lord teach us to wait. So he was impatient. Verse 10. That reminds me of who? Abraham. Amen. And the promised seed. And today, humanity is still paying the price. Also reminds of us of who else? Adam and Eve. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed. Did he come within the days appointed? Absolutely, he came within the days appointed. And that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Oh, man, someone said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, thy God, which he commanded thee. Listen to what he said. We'll come back to this later. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Forever. That would have been his destiny. But he disobeyed. Why did he disobey? When we disobey, it goes beyond our disobedience. There's an inherent reason. There is a behind the scenes reason why we disobey. Sometimes, most of the times. What was the case with Saul? There's something you find out. Let's move on. Chapter 15. The Bible said this word of is for us, is for admonition. So that it's for correction. So that we may be able to thoroughly decipher the word of God and follow it. Amen? So we don't make the same mistakes, the same errors of the past. Praise the Lord. Let's move forward. But you know what? In God's mercies, he said he will cause all things to work together for good. All things, not some things. All things to work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose and promises, to those that love God. You and I will make mistakes from time to time, but he will cause those mistakes. Amen? He will cause those mistakes to work together for your good. It may look like everything is going haywire, but he will cause it. Despite the fact that the children of Israel asked for a king and God wanted to be their king, he wanted to fight their battles. There were wars that they fought. There was not a single army involved with it. Read through between chapter 9 and, or 1 Samuel chapter 9 through 12. There are battles that they fought. I don't want for brevity of time. They fought these battles. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the armies of the Philistines were fighting one another. Amen? There was no army involved. Hallelujah. How would you like the Lord to fight your battle? And you don't have to lift a finger. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that. Praise the Lord. To show them that God wanted to be their God. He wanted to be their king. Something happened in chapter 12. I went back. Chapter 12. To prove to them that God wanted to be their king. He didn't want a man to be their king like the other nations. In chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, he gathered all the children of Israel. He said, watch this. To show how wicked thing you guys have desired, he says, in this wheat harvest, I will cause it to rain, thunder and lightning. That's between me and you. They don't have rain around that time, around the wheat harvest in that summer period. Chapter 12, verse 17. It's not wheat harvest today. I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see what your wickedness, that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto our sins this evil to ask us for a king. Samuel said unto them, fear not. You have done all things, all this wickedness. He went to say, look, just obey the word of the Lord. You have asked for a king. He will make everything all right. Just don't you fall out to the left or to the right. Praise the Lord. Let's move forward. Chapter 15. An instruction was given to Samuel again. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. As humble as this man was in his very beginnings, when he was to be anointed in chapter 9, he went to hide himself among stuff. Anybody remember that story? They were looking for him. The Lord chose this tribe. He had all the 12 tribes gathered together and all that. He was so humble in his beginnings. He went to hide himself. He didn't think he was worthy, but God had made him worthy. We move forward to verse 15, this is where I'm going, chapter 15. And the Lord, in verse 2, thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember which the Amalekites did to Israel. How he said, wait for him in the way when they were coming from the land of Egypt. When they were coming from the land of Egypt, sorry about that. I was hacking a bing, 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 bing. What's all this noise? When they were coming from the land of Egypt, the Amalekites waged war against them. The Lord said to them, then, he said, these Amalekites, I'm going to wipe them out from the face of the earth. The Lord remembered. I think that was in Exodus chapter 17, if you want to look it up. Exodus chapter 17. Let's see what actually the Lord said then to them. In verse 14, because they waged war against the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, verse 14, that's Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. That's what God said then. It came into his remembrance. He now told Saul, go carry out this command. Go wipe them out. Don't let anything escape. Kill them all, because they withstood God's people. Amen. And the Lord, when people may withstand you, let the Lord fight your battle. Let the Lord fight your battle. He will wipe some of them out from the face of the earth, and their remembrance shall be no more.
I'm not talking of human beings. If you have a human being who is against the will and destiny of God, God have mercy on him. But if he will not fall to the, under the mercy of God, God have mercy on me. God can take him off from the face of the earth. Or move him from that job where you're at. Because the Lord has given every place for you for a possession. He had told the children of Israel, he has given you this place for a possession. No boy should come in your way. Hallelujah. He said, like we said earlier, you are, God has made us kings and priests. Royalty is what we are supposed to be at our place of work. Wherever we are at. Hallelujah. We move on to chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. So Joshua went to carry out this command. Verse 9, I'm just moving fast forward. He didn't execute everything, but listen to what he said. Verse 9, verse 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 9. But Samuel and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatling, and of the lambs. Was that what he was told to do? No. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me, and had not performed my commandment at it. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up in a place, and he's gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I've performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of sheep in mine ears, and this lowering of the oxen? I hear, baa, baa, moo, moo. How come I'm hearing all that stuff? Verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Listen to what he said. For the people, who was he blaming? The people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest, we, now included himself, we utterly destroyed. Can you get that? So when it comes to the law command, we did it. When it came to not obeying, he said he was blaming the people. Praise God. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine eyes, in thine own eyesight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said unto thee, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but thou didst fly upon the spoil, and did this evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent to me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed everything. Listen, verse 21. He said what? But the people, again, the people took up the spoil and the oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And verse 22. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than a fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the Lord, the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. His destiny was changed. What do we see in verse 40 of chapter 13? 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord had brought
sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because he has not kept the word which the Lord commanded thee. So, there was a switch in the mission in his life. His destiny was truncated, and somebody else was chosen to take his place. That will not happen to you or me in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, take heed, let no man take thy crown. His kingdom would have been forever. What was the underlying reason why he disobeyed the Lord? Let's look at this. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. I'm going between those two chapters. And Samuel said, and Saul said unto Samuel, now he recognized, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because, what did he say? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He had more. He wanted the praise. He wanted recognition. He wanted the honor of men rather than what comes from God. As we go on, you say, how do you know this? Look at what happens as we go on. Now he says, now I pray thee. He was talking to Samuel. I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship with the Lord. And Samuel said, verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he said, behold, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for it's not a man that he should lie, that he should repent. Look at verse 30, how people, then he said, I've sinned yet, honor me, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. Make me look good, is what he's trying to say. Make me look good. That was his downfall. He loved the praises of men and the honor of men. God is admonishing you and I here. Please, when the Lord gives you a command, he gives you an order, you know his word. Don't let brother X, sister Y, don't give preference because he's your brother, he's your sister. Let all men be liars. Let your Lord and his word be true. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was telling Samuel, please come with me. I want to save face. He loved the honor. And sometimes a lot of us in Christendom, in order to look good, smell good, we pray, we play favoritism. Because he's my uncle, therefore, whatever he's doing is right. Or because he's my husband, whatever he's doing must be right. Even when the word of God says otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, your destiny will not be changed on account of trying to please. Don't please men. Paul said, if I should be a servant of God, I shouldn't be men pleaser. Galatians, I think 1, verse 10. Praise the Lord. There was another man similar to this in 1 Kings chapter 13. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him. And it came, verse 1 Kings chapter 13. A lot of us know this story. And for the young ones who don't know this story, the word of God came to him and went to prophesy. And God gave him certain instructions. He said, don't go. When you go, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. 1 Kings chapter 13.
they style here the disobedient man of God.
He said, and behold, there came a man of God from Judah by the name of, out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar and prophesied about things going on. And God said, look, oh, after you finish doing this prophecy and everything I told you to do, don't become the same way. Don't eat bread. Don't do this. Don't do that. Just go back.
Then one big prophet
said, I'm a man of God. Verse 11. Said, now dwelled an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel.
And the man told him, hey, I know God says you don't do this, but God has spoken to me. He said you can eat. It's okay for you to eat in my house. When God had not said so. Have you read that story before, you young ones? If you have not read it, please read it.
The young man, the old prophet said unto him, I'm a prophet also, as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord. Bring him back. Is to bring thee back into my house, and that he may eat and drink water. But he lied unto him. Verse 19. So he went out going the way God told him. So he went back with this old prophet and did eat and drink in his house. Verse 20. And it came to pass, as they sat at table, the word of the Lord came unto this prophet that brought him back. And he said unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place that in which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchres of thy father. Verse 23. And it came to pass, after he had finished eating and drinking, and he stood up, this prophet now took him on his way back home. Verse 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass, that's a donkey, stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. So he never returned. His life was truncated. His destiny was changed. Because he respected one old prophet. He respected one big, quote-unquote, uncle above the command of the Lord. Are you getting my story? Please. The admonition of this word is this. Don't play ping pong with your destiny. Don't play favoritism with your destiny. Don't say, because he's my brother, because he's my auntie, therefore I will eat that was sacrificed to idols or what have you. I'm not saying there's any idol, there's no, I'm just using that as an example. The reason why some of these things happen is for us unto whom the ends of the world have come. To who do you pledge allegiance? To whom do you owe your allegiance? To a man who's just a fleeting of time is going to vamoose from the face of their flesh. Let our allegiance be to him who died for us, who paid the ultimate price. Don't second guess the word of the Lord because it's your sister, because it's your mom. Benny, could you put that up for me, please? Gonna pray. Listen to this. Give me a volume, please.
for us to believe in the Bible. After that, we just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But some hope that you never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know this church can come back to you. Because I know that Jesus can just decide. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. Take care of your mom.
Allegiance to the Lamb, all my strength with all my am, I will choose to honor His command. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb, all I strength with all my, I will cheat to honor His command. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. All my strength, with all I am, I will cheek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Under the penalty of death, if Christianity was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? It's a question each and every one of us would have to answer sometimes at one point in time. But I pray in the name of Jesus, both the preacher and the hearer, when push comes down to shove, will pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Because he that put his hand upon the plow, there's no looking back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided? If you have not decided to follow Jesus, there is coming a time you have to pay for it with your blood. In this generation, if you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, He commands all to repent and come to the cross. The days are running very, 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 very short. If you are such a person, if you are such a one here, don't say because my brother, my sister is sitting next to me, or there's a brother who will be looking at me. The Bible said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you. We are making a call. Whosoever will, let him come to the cross. Let him come to the cross. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. So help me God. Who wants to answer this clarion call for Jesus today? To take his cross and follow him. Wherever he leads, you follow. Anybody in the house? Have you pledged allegiance to the Lamb? I have. Praise ye the Lord. This is my admonition to us. Don't let an uncle, don't let a brother, don't be a saw. Your destiny will not be truncated in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, everyone who has heard this word that you have admonished us, help us to hold on
to hold on, even when the going gets tough, in the name of Jesus. To hold on a little while longer, because he is coming. He's coming. He said, when I come, will you find faith or not? I say, yes, Lord, you will find faith in the name of Jesus. Because your grace is sufficient unto us. Thank you, Father, Lord. Help us to stand strong in our walk with you. Help us to be ambassadors, not just on Sundays. In fact, more importantly, out there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day in the name of Jesus. Wherever we have erred, by reason of the blood of Jesus, the blood that wipes away all our failures, we plead the blood of Jesus upon our past situations that's beyond our control. Thank you, Lord, for wiping our slates clean this day and giving us hope for eternity. And everybody said, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.